It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
Oh, will we ever. Will we ever. How you doing, Will?
Well, you know, it's Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving will have just passed when this. I was thinking what I have to be thankful for. You know, I have that really well-paying creative job, and I have, you know, all the success in the podcasting and storytelling worlds, and I have that beautiful, loving girlfriend. Oh, wait, I have none of these things. Fuck you, Thanksgiving.
What about Hanukkah? Now you got no time for that?
I got no time for that. I'm not Jewish. I have no time for that.
Right.
That's your thing.
It's my thing. Yeah,
you have to be thankful for 8 nights? Is that what you have to do?
I just have to be thankful that... No, I gotta just get through dinner at my aunt's house.
Okay.
That's what's gonna have to happen on Thursday night.
Turkey?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Kosher turkey.
What is going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast? Because I'm hearing, I mean, I don't know, but I'm hearing big things.
Yeah, the people are talking.
People
are talking. Scuttlebutt? Nothing. Nothing is going on. Oh, wait. We have a big announcement.
Tell us the biggest announcement. Tell the people.
So, starting at some point in December... We will be officially part of the Westcast Podcast Network, affiliated with the West Side Comedy Theater in Santa Monica.
And this is going to mean big things. This is going to bring in new listeners. This is going to bring in, not that we have a problem with our old listeners, but this is going to bring in some fresh blood.
Yes, because you always have to renew the gene pool, or else you get weird kids.
And, you know, this you heard them on the podcast a few weeks ago, Nat Goldberg and Sean Casey. This is the podcast network they were telling you about.
So we've been formally invited to be part of their little world, and this is very exciting, but we're going to need your help, people.
So, look, I always tell you, rate us on iTunes, subscribe, and then you don't always do it.
Now it means something.
Yeah, now it means even more, because we want to show this network... how good we are, how good our fans are, so...
And when you subscribe, the episode downloads automatically, so even if you don't listen, I don't know why you wouldn't listen, but should you choose not to listen, at least you are downloading the episodes.
So, Will Sean Podcast is very excited. We're going to be involved with the Westcast Podcast Network.
And you'll be hearing a lot more about this, so we're going to just kind of leave this right now, but that was the announcement.
Yeah, there'll be...
And I'm getting a sex change operation.
Yeah, that's going on, too, for the holidays.
Yeah, so...
Next year, Sean will be a woman.
I will be Shauna.
Shauna. And each week, I'm going to be lewdly hitting on her. Who's our sponsor this week?
Well, Will, in the spirit of the holiday, this week's episode is brought to you by the third night of Hanukkah, also known as the 27th day of the month of Kislev. Sure, nights 1 and 2 get all the attention, but the third night is where it's at. The presents have all dried up, your skin is slick with latke grease, your windowsill is covered in melted beeswax, and you owe your cousin $900 because you couldn't stop yourself from betting it all on one last dreidel spin. The third night of Hanukkah, when the fun stops and the suffering begins.
See, now I wish... I was Jewish, because that sounds wonderful.
You want a little action on the dreidel spinning?
I want dreidel betting. I want to be in a back alley spinning dreidels.
With a Russian John Malkovich.
On the show this week, selling out. Everybody does it. Can anyone avoid it? I've got some questions for Lays. I have some questions about feminism I want to bring up.
This will go well.
And there's a new rapper on the scene. And I've got some choice words for him. But first, we are very excited to welcome to the show. She's an actress. She has a terrific book, The Dysfunctional Family Fun Book. And she is Catherine Brockett.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
So good to be here.
We must mention at the top of the show that you brought us pumpkin pie.
I brought you pie.
Yeah, and Will is leaning over to get a plate of delicious pie.
Pumpkin pie.
And we've been putting lots of whipped
stuff.
Cream.
Mm-hmm.
That probably just sounded like static.
I hope that made for good podcasting.
You got sound effects. This is fancy.
Very fancy.
I'm
and
impressed.
Will is now putting it in his mouth.
Oh, see? Good stuff.
Napkin. And you also brought a turkey hat, which you'll all see photos
of
later.
You'll see in the photos I'm wearing a turkey hat eating pie. I've never been... Look. It's been a little while since a podcast guest brought us anything. And
what, do we demand tribute like some sort of pagan god?
They would just, people would sometimes just bring us things unsolicited, and this was maybe the greatest unsolicited gifts ever, because nothing is better than pond.
Okay, what about the homemade mead that took him 6 years to make?
Yeah, we had a guest bring us
mead.
He brought
you mead?
Mead.
No, mead. I was like, yeah. That should be like sausage. Okay. Mead, he made 6 years, huh?
No, 15 years.
Oh, right. That's right. I can't do math.
He made this guest, Alex Stein. He had brought 15-year-old mead that he had, like, made in his bathtub or something.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
How do you keep the same alcohol in your house for 15 years?
Self-control.
Yeah, that's not happening.
But welcome to the show.
Speaking of dysfunctional families, hey.
So, Catherine, before we delve into your book and you have a blog and your acting, let's get a little bit of your origin story here. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Maryland. I'm an East Coast girl.
Okay.
What like Baltimore or the rest of the state? Because I don't think I've ever met anyone that's not from Baltimore.
I'm not from Baltimore.
Silver Springs?
Baltimore adjacent. God damn it. Silver Springs. What? You did not just say Silver Springs.
I did. Is that where you're from?
I was born in Silver Springs. Not technically from there, but that's kind of creepy.
There you go.
That's
pretty creepy.
He clearly knows two places in Maryland.
That's it. Oh, and Annapolis.
Yeah, that's actually where we live now. So that's cool. My family. So, yeah. So there you go.
So how long have
you... Why don't we just talk to him? Because apparently he knows the whole
How long have you been out folks? Here? How long have you lived out here in Los Angeles?
For a couple of years now.
Okay. Do you like it out here?
Not yet. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't matter that y'all don't have fall. That's fine. It doesn't
matter. It's beautiful outside.
It
it's
is.
Crisp.
No, it is. And it's warm.
Feel free to go back to Maryland. Yeah.
32 degrees.
I don't know what that means.
Windy.
No, I don't know what that means.
Right, yeah, it was uncomfortable.
So now.
Yeah.
did you move here for acting? Was that the thing?
Yep. I absolutely did. I wanted to do commercials and to do sitcoms, and that's what I came out here for.
Well, how did you get into, like, what is the acting scene in
Annapolis.
Annapolis. What is
it's
it
a
like
lot of
the...
naval instruction films,
well,
right?
Well, you know what? What is he doing? I have to wear, like, a tinfoil hat.
He knows everything about your life.
I wrote that in a diary when I was...
The Naval Academy's in Annapolis.
Oh, my God. I actually got my SAG card, working in D.C. and Baltimore and Philly. So, yeah, there were a lot of industrial training films. There was CIA. There was FBI. There was DOD.
You were in a CIA training
absolutely,
film?
Absolutely.
What did you have to do
well,
with it?
It was about the computer systems and, you know, actually for employees and working through, like, some new system. So it was really mind-numbingly creative, interesting, stuff like that. But here's why I left, because I was called in to do something for, was it the CDC? I don't know, something like that.
No, that's in Atlanta.
I don't know how racy that you guys get on these podcasts.
We get
but
very,
very
racy.
Very racy, okay. So my question was, in the audition, I was supposed to raise my hand, and this was for an AIDS awareness video.
Okay.
And the question I was supposed to ask was, I don't understand why you can't just turn it inside out and use it again.
Really?
Like, I'm going to make that up.
That's a great... Because, no, I'm asking more, really, you can't do that? Because I do that every time.
Well, you know, in India, it's cheaper to get a prostitute than it is to purchase a condom.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
So you got to turn it inside
out.
Yeah,
I do. I got to start turning tricks in India then. I have, so that was when I decided that it wasn't really the creative hotbed that I wanted to stay in.
Now,
and left. That was kind of a last straw for me.
Based off that line reading.
Yes, sir.
Is that how you got, then you came out? Because you've been on a bunch of shows. You've done, I was looking over your, you've been on like True Blood, Mentalist, Cold Case.
Right, I got punched in the face on The Mentalist. That was pretty fun.
Did they see that AIDS line and be like, we got to get her on the show and punch her in the face?
They saw the CIA training film you did where you had to be waterboarded.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought, you know.
Yeah, she's a tough one. That's what they said.
Why'd they punch you in the face? Was it Simon Baker who punched you in the face?
I don't know. Oh. Yeah, some drug dealer boyfriend I had a problem with. Yeah,
okay.
There's just like lots of crying and whimpering and in a corner kind of thing.
So my Wednesdays.
So lots of crying. It was lots of crying, which if you can't produce real tears, the makeup artist will come over to you with this little toy atomizer thing and go... Right in your
and
eye.
And the water works.
It just comes right out. Yeah.
And then they'll pluck your nose hairs.
Exactly. That was that, yes.
And you were on True Blood.
Yes, sir.
Who were you on True Blood?
I was Lurleen Butterman. Which, Ms. Laura Linebottom. Okay, it was
I feel
seconds.
Bad because
like,
I've actually I watched the show.
Yeah, it was just this little guest star. I tried to pick up a senator and I got pushed aside by a vampire. But let me tell you, it was fun. Such a good show.
That seems like a fun...
They should invite me back. I think Lurleen Butterman should be a character that's on all the time.
She's getting a spinoff.
You know, a spinoff.
It should be you and Alexander Sarsgaard running around the...
Sure.
How's that?
Absolutely.
The Bayou? Where does that show take place? I don't even know.
It takes place in Louisiana.
That's the Bayou.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm up for that.
All right.
Y'all know anybody who know anybody?
Believe me, if we knew somebody, we probably wouldn't be doing this recording right now.
We'd be running off Alexander Skarsgård?
You know, yeah, I would be.
You'd be missing the hell out of me, so, you know.
It's true. I wouldn't know you. Okay. Instead, I'd have to settle for all the hot vampire women on True Blood.
Well, okay. Well, see, my point is it's still not made now. But thanks.
Oh, look, you made the feel. Now you rejected the guest.
I did reject the guest. That's terrible.
I'd be hanging out with hot, half-naked women stabbing people.
No,
that's
full
cool.
naked.
That's what... Really?
Full naked, yeah.
Okay. You bring me pie, and I spurn you for Jessica the Vampire.
That's okay. What's her name? Sookie?
No, that's... Yeah, Sookie is Anna Paquin.
Snooki is the one from... Jersey Shore. Right.
But now we're getting way off topic. Really? So let's bring this back.
It's kind of a dysfunctional family.
It is. Are you giving
I'm
the segue?
I'm bringing it back.
Do you want to go to the segue to the book? Because I was going to save the book for last, but you gave me such a good segue.
Oh, no, you fire away.
Let's go into it.
That's your first mistake.
we're gonna take your lead, the lead you gave me.
Okay.
And you're right. Those vampires kind of make up a dysfunctional family unit that Sookie's in charge of here. And you have a book about dysfunctional families.
Yes, I do.
Now this isn't like some
hoity-toity word book.
Yeah. This is like an activity book.
It's not. It's not one of those literary books, no. It's not.
Fuck those things.
People can read. Forget that.
What I'm saying is this isn't a book that you read and be like, this will help me deal with my family. This is a book of like, I will do this because I can't deal with my family.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a save-yourself book. It's like, you know, when you were young and you went on vacation with your parents and they'd throw you in the back of the car and you'd have nothing to do, so you'd get these great fun
was
books.
My iPad broken?
Okay. The batteries were out.
Oh,
batteries,
okay.
Right? Yeah. So you get these activity books, and this is for when you grow up and you have to go back home. It's an activity book for adults.
Now, I know you people can't see this, but it's a fully illustrated, every page is a new surprise, is a new, literally, it's a crossword puzzle.
It's like,
amazing.
It's like highlights for adults. It's got, you know, games and...
I was looking at one and it was like, guess what's like wrong in this picture or something, and like the dad's happy, and then one of the answers is he's sleeping with his secretary or something, and he
yeah,
shouldn't
it's
be
you spot like the hidden problem, and the family looks completely normal. It's like the first game that I thought of. It's the set of faces, and it says, can you match the correct emotion with the correct feeling word? Expression. With the correct feeling word. And it says sad, glad, mad, disappointed in you. And all the faces look exactly the same.
Exactly. So it's, so you match the sad faces to the sad emotions.
Well, they're kind of neutral. You just can't really tell what anybody's thinking. But I don't know if that's a specific East Coast dysfunction or...
That we just don't show emotion?
Yeah.
I think it's a southeastern Maryland thing.
Just Baltimore and Silver Spring.
Yeah.
It's five of us.
Everyone's very well adjusted outside of Maryland.
Yeah. Well, I used to, you know, go to those friends' houses that the families, like, yelled at each other, and I thought it was great.
It spiced things up.
I was like, wow, they're yelling about stuff.
They weren't just sitting quietly and...
Nobody was just, you know, just angry, diffused angry.
Well, then I have to ask you, because you wrote the Dysfunctional Family Fun Book.
Uh-huh.
Is your family dysfunctional?
Oh, they're all perfectly normal. They're fine.
Really?
Are they really?
Yeah, no.
You said that a little quickly.
Screwed up. Yeah. In fact, my mom was just like, I don't know where you get this imagination from.
So are all these things inspired?
She put it on the table at the church bazaar. She's so proud.
She's proud. Okay, so let me ask you, how... did you, over time, come up with all these different activities? You were collecting all these ideas until you had enough to put it into a book? Or how did this... What was the genesis of this project?
I would collect them. When things started to make me a little crazy, I would, you know, run off and, you know, with my little pencil and draw things and just laugh. Because if you can laugh, you'll be okay. It's after you stop laughing and start really seriously drinking that it gets bad.
But then it gets good again.
That was supposed to be funny. No. Oh, man. These guys are looking at me like, yeah, no, it's fine. See, I used all the angst and bitterness and wrote a fabulous book. And now we're all one big happy family.
Dysfunctional family.
Yeah. No.
So what's a, so are you going home this holiday season to deal with your dysfunctional family?
To deal with them. Actually, I'm spending Thanksgiving out here.
Okay.
With friends, with 18 friends.
Big
potluck, and everybody's bringing stuff. I think that's the way to do it. I'll go home for Christmas.
Yeah.
You got to divide your time. That's one of the techniques in the book. I say techniques like it's actual words, but that's one of the things that you got to do. You got to do a surgical strike. You got to be strategic about the time you spend with your family.
Pick your battles.
You're going home at Christmas. What's the dysfunction you're most looking forward to from your family?
Oh, my God. I know it's going to get serious questions. My favorite dysfunction?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Will, what's yours? Or is your family even dysfunctional?
You know,
you
funny.
Might see. I just assumed you came from a not normal family.
See, I was... I'm putting together a whole bunch of... You saw me perform an essay at Sit and Spin. That's how we met. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting together a whole bunch of these essays, and I gave them to a friend of mine to look over and get some thoughts on. She goes, I need you to dig deeper. Maybe unhappiness from your childhood. I said, I was a very happy child. I have no real bitterness. I mean, clearly something happened because I'm neurotic as fuck. But
no Uncle Touchies or anything?
No, but there was no, like...
We can say fuck.
We could say fuck.
Awesome. Yeah. I wanted to use it earlier.
My family's got some issues, but mostly it's on the outskirts of my family. It's like cousins and uncles who have issues. But like my mom was always a very good thought of my dad was always great. Growing up, they were divorced, but it happened when I was three, so I don't remember them being again. So it's the only reality I ever knew. If they had gotten divorced when I was like 12, then maybe I'd be a different story.
Well, it'd probably mean they were fighting for a few years before that too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that'll soak in.
So I had a relatively... Look, my family's got some problems, but my family, I think, thinks they're more dysfunctional than they are because whenever I'm at, like, Thanksgiving dinner, like, you gotta write a script or you gotta write some story about us. I'm like, you people aren't that interesting. That's the problem with my family. They're not that interesting.
No home for the holidays with Holly Hunter?
That's in Baltimore.
That is a freaking fantastic film.
I've seen it. Jodie Foster.
So good.
Oh, what about, which one is that? Avalon? It's the Barry Levinson film. You Cut the Turkey Without Me?
Also Baltimore.
Was that Avalon?
I think so.
Yeah.
Also Baltimore, yeah.
I'm a big John Waters fan.
There you
That's
go.
All Baltimore.
Yeah?
I want to know
about...
My family?
Yeah.
Okay. My family's fairly normal. They have, like, a just general underlying Jewish neuroses, but my parents have been married for 34 years. I got three siblings. Everyone's married but me. Everyone's very nice. I got crazy grandmother, but just that's an age function that's not, you know.
So when you say crazy, you don't mean like waka crazy.
No,
like,
it's more like, oh grandma, don't crazy. Be racist to the waiter. You know, stuff like that.
So, Sean, because you're the unmarried one, they probably look at you as a dysfunctional
one. Oh, 100%. I'm a total black sheep. Not only am I a black sheep within my siblings, but... If you take into account the people they married, my brother and sisters-in-laws fit more into my family than I do, which is very strange.
You are almost the black sheep of your entire culture.
But he says black sheep, but he's wearing like the most crisply starched white shirt I have ever seen in my entire life.
I moonlight as a Mormon.
Do you do your own laundry?
No, I just picked it up from the dry cleaner yesterday.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Never. I didn't have time to filth it up.
But it's pristine.
Thank you. I present a good front.
It doesn't even sweat. See, this is good radio.
This is great radio. We're going to describe what everybody's wearing now for the
podcast,
next 30
radio,
minutes.
Like I'm, you know.
I think we should do a stare down. Just.
I'm also going to say VHS tapes. Don't you know I get this on a cassette later?
we're gonna give you 8 tracks of
awesome.
This episode later.
Later on my beta tape.
Okay, so the book here. How long ago did you put this all together here, this terrific book?
Was it 2009?
And I imagine it sells really well around the holidays.
Around the holidays, yeah. It's fun, because people like to give it to their other family members so they can all leave and do it, you know, by themselves, you know, in rooms. And
it's therapeutic.
It's not, people have the misconception that it's something that we're all supposed to get together and do as a family, which is not what it's for at all. It's about saving yourself. This is fun all by your lonesome. You can make fun of them, you know, by yourself.
I think it'd be fun if every member of the family gets their own. They have to then go spend the week before Thanksgiving and Christmas, fill the book out, and then at the meal, you all kind of secret Santa, and everyone kind of passes their completed book around, and people get to read what other family members wrote.
And that works out good for you, because you probably sold like 8, 9, 10 books that way.
And I'm not a family hater. I'm just saying that if you can't get a hold of yourself and have a little bit of a sense of humor about what's going on, then you're no good.
You told us what the first activity you came up with. What's your favorite one in that book? Do you have a particular favorite one that you could, as best you can, over the airwaves, describe to us?
Well, I think there's some disguises in here, which I think is hilarious. There's some coupons, because you know how you used to make them coupons when you were little?
Yeah.
For like, good for one hug. This is good for one, I promise not to put you into a home.
Uh-huh.
It says, hurry, it expires when you turn 80 or become incontinent.
So. You could get that one for your grandma.
My sister has a very sharp sense of humor, so my mother has a very nice watch. My sister asked my mom, Mom, can I have that watch at some point when you get older? My mom goes, I had to be married for 25 years before I got this watch. You're not getting this watch. And my sister says, well then, that's a shame. I guess I won't know what time to come visit you in the home.
Oh,
nice. I like that.
She should write a book. That's pretty funny.
Now, I also wanted to ask you, beyond your book, you have a blog.
Yes.
Cancercation.
Oh, we're going there.
Did you not want to go there?
No, we can go there.
People
are going to be like, oh, my Lord, she comes from a dysfunctional family and she had cancer.
Well, you came up with this blog because...
Because it's funny.
Your cancer was funny.
Yeah, it was. You gotta find humor in everything.
Cancer is the most funniest of disease, and breast cancer.
You can turn it into K.
Breast cancer must be the funniest of the cancers.
And the sexiest.
Well, these are new. You guys want to see them?
Yeah, I'm never gonna turn that down.
It's a nice set. I have a nice set now. Yeah.
I wouldn't have known.
Was it an upgrade or?
It was. I mean, I don't think you all want to get technical about any of this stuff, but if you get new ones, they have to make them reasonably large in order to look real. Something I learned. I went from a sad B, which was fine because that is why God invented Victoria's Secret push-up bras.
Well, that was my GPA in high school, so.
A sad B. To these are a 30 for double D.
Hey,
that was my first girlfriend.
Really?
Yes. I was spoiled.
Well, clearly Sean, I also wasn't in high school.
I got you beat. 36 double D. My first girlfriend.
Just means her hips were wider.
I know. I was going to say.
Just means she's a little bigger.
The circumference of her rib cage. So,
she was good. These were good.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Andrew Marchand's going to be very upset now.
This is a weird thing to say to the breast cancers. I'm a fan of your breasts, then. They sound wonderful.
They're pretty great, yeah.
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 Now, tell us a little bit about this blog.
It's called Cancercation, and it's about life's least recommended vacation, because when something like that hits you, you got to kind of, you get to reevaluate, and sort of you just get knocked to the side for a while, and then you end up back in your own real life, which is... it's just much more interesting than I'm making it out to be right now.
I imagine this was very kind of beneficial to you to keep up this blog while this is... Because you got to show a little bit of your sense of humor, I guess, with the whole thing. I guess that's a good way to deal with something like this.
Says the man who never had breast cancer.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, it's, you know, it's a really tough line to walk because at first I didn't want anybody to know.
Right.
And my mom was sending out email blasts to hundreds of people, which she came out to visit and I got a phone call like while I was driving in the car right after I went to an awful appointment to talk about freezing my eggs in front of my mother. And a phone call came from some guy I've never met in my entire life. And he's just like, hey, my name is blah, blah, blah. And I live in LA and... Your mom swims with my mom when they go to Florida, and she mentioned you had cancer. Is there anything you need me to help you with? I live in West Hollywood.
So you figured your mom was already telling the world.
Oh, my God.
You.
She kept asking for details, too. Now, how large was that tumor?
Because like, she needs grist for the mill.
She needed. So I didn't really, and I hadn't even told some of my friends at that point, so it was kind of awkward to know it was broadcast. I mean, I'm talking like my mom has, you know, a wide interest of, you know, I am so sorry, but I'm a little, I thought we were going to talk about the fun book, and I'm fine talking about this.
We did talk about the fun book. We talked about the fun book for a very long time.
And it ain't about that cancer, but it's fine. I have a blog, and I'm actually working on a TV show about it, which is really funny, which I'm not sure what we're going to call it yet.
Okay.
Can't have cancer in the title because nobody will watch it.
Can't call it the big C.
No, can't call it that or the C word.
Call it fun bags.
Maybe. I was thinking about going for a while. The working title was Two Broke Boobs.
Nice.
Two Broke Boobs.
Nice.
Anyway, but yeah, so no, I can talk about it. I can be funny.
Now I feel really bad.
No, I just, well, I'm surprised.
I'll be honest with you. I was going to move off of it.
Now I keep talking about it.
But now you keep talking about it.
Now I'm turning to a pitch meeting.
Yeah, right?
If you've got a great title for a comedy about a girl with breast cancer, send the titles in. Send our Facebook page. We'll forward them along to Catherine.
Right, and the winner gets a look at these.
Yeah. If you want to see Catherine's beautiful new breasts, come up with the best title.
Yeah, right? We're really falling off the ship, aren't we?
We've really gone.
So where can people buy the book?
But let me just.
Okay, well, let you. Okay.
I'm not trying to wrap up or anything here, but it's just a weird thing. Like it either the subject comes up, and you say the C word, which is why they call it the C word, and people are either, you know, right there with you, and they're like, oh, and they'll say something sometimes wildly inappropriate and frightening, like, oh, you know, my aunt just died of that. And then you, like, you go, you know, what are you supposed to say to that? Or they're, you know, they're totally cool, like, oh, and, you know, you're bonding, and it's like a moment that you wouldn't have had with somebody because you share something that's hard. Or, like, they get this crazy look in their eye, like it's contagious, and, like, take off! You know, you're like, I just said, like, I just shit my pants. Like, they really look at you, like, in this way that they think it's contagious. So I commend you for your straightforwardness and your there's another word I'm looking for.
Right. Good now. Save.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, I don't think I said anything. No, you have a blog about it. I think it was open topic.
You did an essay about it.
Seriously, though, people will not talk about it. So you know.
This is honestly, if I could, I would talk about this for the next half hour.
Cancer.
But
that's the name of the next, you know, podcast show you're going to start.
Cancer.
Out.
I'm going to do
the
a whole
cancer show
with just funny cancer survivors this week.
I have a lot of funny cancer stories, but I haven't come prepared.
Actually, that's what we're going to, honestly, we are moving to the Westcast Network. We're changing up the whole format of the show. Mm-hmm. Instead of talking to people who are plugging books or comedies,
it's
cancer
the all
survivors.
Cancer show. It's
yeah.
The all cancer guys.
Cancer medical oddities.
Yeah.
And me and Sean just make jokes at them.
Yeah.
By the way, if I did have some sort of horrible
cancer
thing happened.
Yeah,
not necessarily even
can't
it.
Say it.
I would. Everyone would know about
really?
It immediately. I would broadcast this to the world. I would become insufferable. I would use it because I'm an asshole.
Like just a polyp or something.
Probably.
That would work for you.
That would work for me.
All right.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I find one weird thing with me that's nothing on me. Like, well, like I get like a pimple and I'm like I'm screaming about it for months. So you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody has cancer these days anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Well,
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were being metaphorical.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, everything causes it. No, we have the same surgeon. So.
Did that pie we eat cause cancer?
Probably. I put a little phenoethylcholate in it.
That ingredient. That was what I tasted.
Dude, I totally made that word up.
Okay, well, look, we got to move on to the pop culture topics. But
we don't want to know where to get the cancer. We want to know where to get the book.
Yeah.
Right. So did you hear I had cancer?
I heard something about this cancer.
The book. You can get the book on Amazon. You used to be able to get it in Barnes & Noble, and I would pull it out and put it on the front of the rack so everybody would buy it. It also comes with – there's a mini kit, and the mini kit has a blindfold in it, and it has a mini flask.
Nice.
And it's pretty funny, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you could get the Dysfunctional Family Fun Book through Amazon. Also, you have a website?
Yes.
And I'm assuming we can that also links to where you can buy
Absolutely.
The book?
Absolutely. CatherineBrockett.com. Spelled completely not like it sounds. CatherineBrockett.
And that also has a link to your blog if people want to read about your cancer that we've talked so much about. Listen. If you are a good listener to the podcast, you have already been to her website and you've already bought her book because we will have it linked up on our Facebook page.
That's fancy.
Isn't that crazy?
Can listeners study ahead?
They do, yes, they do homework. We give them assignments, we quiz them. That's why they don't like us.
Well, I tell you what, I'll give them one away free.
Giving away a free book?
I will give it away free.
What do they have to do to get the free book?
I think, I don't know, what should they do for your book? Does anybody, do you have interactive listeners?
We do.
Do they do stuff like tell you their favorite dysfunctional family story?
That's what you should do.
I want to hear the best dysfunctional holiday story.
The best. Send your dysfunctional family stories, to our Facebook page?
Yeah, post it up.
Post it on a Facebook page, and you will get a free book.
And it can be fun dysfunction. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, please, we... please not, like, if it has, like, incest.
I was molested by my uncle on Christmas morning.
Yeah,
he was dressed as Santa Claus.
None of that. But, I mean, I respect if they went through that. I'm not saying that that's... Not,
but you're not going to win a book with that.
Yeah, you're not going to win anything with that.
Well, sorry your uncle touched you, you're not winning a book.
Yeah, that's too bad. You also don't get a book.
This is a great book. Contact us. Leave us your story. We'll pick one. We'll give you the book.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Excellent.
And I'll sign it. I'll write it out to them. You just let me know what you want it to say.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you want to break down some pop culture with us?
I would love to.
I'm glad we have a woman here.
I can't imagine there's anything I would want to do more.
Yeah, except talk about cancer.
Oh, my God. Did you hear about cancer?
We're going to get in so much trouble.
So, anyway.
Oh. Combative listeners.
Really?
Yeah.
All the ones with cancer? Because that makes people cranky.
Well, a lot of C words.
Will is talking.
Are you a fan of Lily Allen? Do you know who Lily Allen is? She hasn't had a song in a while.
Give me some hints.
She's a delightful British musician, pop star. She sang that song, Smile, a few years back. Every time when I see you cry, it makes me smile. Go ahead and smile.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I know who Lily Allen is.
Anyway. And she was always adorably drunk. And then... Then she kind of dropped out for a little while because she had a miscarriage. And then
she had to get adorably sober.
And then she got adorably sober, and she got a baby, a beautiful baby.
This is really the upbeat podcast.
Yeah.
It gets better.
It gets better. So she's back with a new song. And I've always kind of liked her as far as pop music goes, probably because she's adorable and British and drunk. And she just came out with a brand new song called Heart Out Here. And in it, basically the theme of the song is challenging the notions of female pop singers. And it's basically about how they have to be a certain body type, or they have to be this, or they have to be that. And the Heart Out Here, it's Heart Out Here for a Bitch, is the chorus of it. And she did this video, which she viewed as kind of satire, where she has these, like, it's her surrounded by these, like, twerking girls that they want to put in her video, but she can't twerk because she's, like, she's maybe a little bigger, or she's maybe a little this or a little that. She's not sexy enough, even though she's perfectly sexy. But here's what's annoyed me about this. I feel this song and video has a feminist message. But then the feminists got really angry with her. And there was this big article on, like, Jezebel about how this is actually degrading the women in the video, thus it's not feminist at all. And this started to drive me a little crazy, because can't the feminists support the artist who's trying to portray a feminist message? And I'm glad we have a woman here, because I'm noticing this a lot. I'm noticing that whenever a woman comes out and does something, be it like Lena Dunham on an episode of Girls, or Lily Allen with this video, or even Michelle Obama was called this week in Politico a feminist nightmare because she, she said she was the mommy in chief. And they said, well, you should be out there fighting for abortion rights instead. You're not a good feminist. What is your take on all this as a woman and a creative woman?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys really ask the tough questions. I feel like I'm on Anderson Cooper or something.
Well, this bugged me.
Well, clearly it did, sweetie. I honestly think that there are people that are going to get angry over anything. And I just put them all in that same bucket. You know, it's like, of course they're going to get my, I would throw at them, you know, Adele or Melissa McCarthy. I mean, there's always somebody that's going to break the rule, and there's always going to be a group of angry people that are going to bitch about it. And there's a fantastic Mark Twain quote that I can't think of right now, but it's about, wow, this is why it's harder to podcast than I thought it was, because now I really can't think of that quote. But
is it the one with that
mediocre people and...
No, a silver mine is a hole in the ground owned by a liar.
No,
that's not that one.
Not that one at all. I'm just telling you, if you're successful and awesome and shiny, somebody's going to try to take you down.
But does it bother you as a woman seeing... Because it bothers me, oddly enough, as a man.
You're really freaking out about it, I can tell.
Seeing these women trying to take down other women who are actually trying to support a feminist agenda.
I'm like the worst guest ever because, no, that doesn't... I mean, it
that's
sure,
fine that it doesn't
bothers
bother you.
Me. Sure. But, yeah, not really. There's just a-holes everywhere. And they'll target anybody at any time. So, especially if you're trying to do something, you know, good or whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
And I like that my idea of good is hot twerking women in a Lily Allen music video.
Well, you know, if she hadn't done this, she would have, like you're saying, you're going to piss someone off. No matter which direction you go, everyone is entitled, unfortunately, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And because of that, we got to listen to a lot of bullshit and a lot of loud voices. And it's very easy nowadays for a very small minority to make... A lot of noise.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh, yeah.
It's, you know, Bill Maher had this great thing where he was saying how, you know, every town had, like, a town, like, crackpot, like a town lunatic. But then the internet came along, and all the lunatics from every town were able to communicate with each other.
Absolutely. I mean, a friend of mine had an episode on television where there was a joke about a kid eating a wheat knuckle sandwich, and the Gluten Society or something about the celiacs, you know, had a movement and got a move.org petition signed or whatever, and they had the network take it off the air. I won't say what network, but they actually took it down. And when you looked at the actual numbers, it was only a couple of thousand people, but they caused such a stink on the internet, they took it down.
Does it rhyme with Sven BC?
No.
Or JBC?
Nope, it's Nizni doesn't. but to your point, it takes an even less amount of a-holes to make a big problem than it used to. I mean,
man, these a-holes.
Yeah, just wait till they get a load of our cancer talk in this episode.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah, we're going to have the Cancer Association. They're going to boycott our podcast.
Yeah, they're going to take down the West Side picketing outside the West Side Theater.
That's right. They're going to, and you know what they'll do is they'll post some bald-headed kid with big eyes and no eyelashes. And there you go. You're going to be taken down.
I don't know. I think this is all... I hate these people. I hate the people who are yelling at Michelle Obama that she is not feminist enough for them because she wants to raise her kids rather than go scream about abortion. I'm already screaming about abortion enough for both of us, Miss Obama. Mrs. Obama.
I'm not even going to go down that path. Well, let's go to something magical.
Yeah, let's shake things up then.
Christmas?
No.
No, okay.
Did you read, like, the comic strips when you were growing up in a paper? No, you didn't.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Well, the Far Side.
Yeah. Far Side
the
was...
The best. And I grew up in D.C., so we had Dave Barry.
Who used to
the best comic.
Far Side was always my second favorite strip.
What was your first?
Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, shit.
The best.
Of course, yes.
Did you like Calvin and Hobbes?
Of course.
There's a new documentary.
Am I American?
Thank you.
Are you a communist?
Thank you.
You have cancer?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a new documentary out.
Yeah.
It's called Dear Mr. Waterson. And the documentary, I saw it. It's a good documentary in that it's just a gushing love letter to Calvin and Hobbes. It's not the best made documentary in the world, but it's...
I gave $5 of Kickstarter money towards that documentary.
Did you?
Yeah, only Kickstarter.
Did you get something back?
No, just email updates. I had to give like $15 if I wanted something free.
And he could, but you get to see the product that you helped contribute to.
Yeah, and what if the movie is like huge? Does anybody get any money back if it's Kickstarter?
Maybe if you give more than $5.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, anyway, it's this great new document. It's a love letter to it. And what's interesting about it, and this is the big takeaway, I think this is the most interesting stuff about it. They estimate that Bill Watterson, who created Calvin Hobbes, and does not appear in the documentary at all.
He retired in 1995. He just shuns the public eye, and he hasn't really put out anything new since then.
But this is all by choice. He's been contacted by Steven Spielberg, George Lucas. His publisher has estimated that together they could have made $400 million off of the rights of Calvin and Hobbes, but he refused to license it. He never wanted any Hobbes dolls in stores.
That's true.
Yeah, there's nothing.
There's a deficit of Hobbes dolls.
There are none.
There's still Garfield dolls.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what he looked at. He looked at the oversaturation of stuff like this, and the film gets
and
into
the Peanuts and the, yeah.
Like, he never wanted Peanuts sell insurance, by the way. Peanuts are on TV selling fucking insurance. And Bill Watterson said, I never want Calvin selling insurance or things like that. So, here's the thing. He's turned down all this money over the years. He is more than anyone I've ever seen. Probably stuck to his artistic integrity. He ended in 95 and nothing. And he's done nothing with it. And yet the product still remains out there. People talk about Calvin and Hobbes.
Well, I mean, he does. Now I'm worried about him.
No, he raises a family. No, I mean,
I'm worried about him.
He has his wife and kid.
Was he on the film?
No, he's not.
No, oh, you just said he wasn't on the film.
Yeah.
Right. I was listening.
I mean, he's still alive. He does stuff. People know where to find him, but he just stays very private. He raises his kid and his family, and that's it.
But he's got his integrity, and it occurred to me this could never happen again in human history, I think. I think that culture is set up in a way that we are forced to sell out if we want to
make
any living off of our art in any way. He found a way that he had a time that he was able to control it, and it's kind of a fluke. Can you think of anyone who hasn't sold out?
Rolling Stones.
See, that's what I mean. Every car commercial, everything's got a, you know, you see someone driving a Subaru and they're playing Street Fighting Man or something.
Oh, man, I don't know why I want to argue with you, but I do. I'm searching.
The only one I could come up with, honestly, was J.D. Salinger, who basically went the same route.
That's another error, and he was fucking crazy.
He was a crazy man. He was a lot of PTSD that I'm pretty sure he didn't treat. He saw some shit in World War II.
Huh. I think that you should use, you know, this sort of the madness, which is media and publicity and all of that stuff. I think you just have to be more careful about crafting your message, about what's kind of going out there.
Maybe Adele? But she's still young. We don't know where she's, you know, what direction she's going to take.
I see Adele songs in a Dell commercial one day.
In a Dell commercial?
Yeah.
What about Del Taco commercials?
Yeah, in a Del Taco commercial, they'll be singing Adele, eating soft-shell tacos.
I did a Del Taco commercial.
Yeah, that's why I brought that up.
Why you bring it up?
Yeah.
And a Del commercial.
You know what Del Taco is? Spanish for of the taco.
Is it? Okay, I'm easy.
I don't know. I don't think there's any pure artists left. I really can't think
of...
what is
a pure artist?
Well, I think the definition's probably changed. Bill Watterson, and that's it. Well, you know, I look at somebody like, say, because you have to work within a system, I guess. And I look at someone like, say, you want to know who? It's someone just occurred to me.
I do. There's like a light bulb that went off right over your head.
Woody Allen. I didn't think about this, but Woody Allen...
There's no Alvy Singer dolls for the car?
He makes movies on his own terms.
Uh-huh. That's true. Uh-huh.
They're always released. He's not getting studio pressure. Mm-hmm. In fact, we talked about this in the podcast, when in India they tried to put a crawl across the bottom of his film because of a smoking scene, he just pulled the film from India. He had that much power to do that.
Really? Yeah. Back when I was a baby actress in New York, I was an extra in one of his films. What was the one with the Django?
Sweet Lowdown.
Yes,
that's
right?
A great film.
Okay, so we had to get on a bus at night, and they would take us all the way up to what are those? Not the Palisades, the Cloisters, something with a nest. I don't know, right outside of the city.
Cloisters?
No, it's further and to the left. And we would have to get dressed in makeup, period makeup, hair, outfits, down to authentic undergarments.
I'm wearing authentic undergarments.
We all had to have like the garters and like everything. We were extras, right? And we would sit there. We went for 4 nights in a row and just sat and waited and got paid because he wasn't feeling it.
Really?
He wasn't feeling it, and he went by with his mini wife daughter, and I was like, that's him, that's for 4 nights they paid us to just sit and do nothing, dressed head to toe. Huh. And then we would take the little bus back.
And you wish you could have been dressed in garters and period underwear.
They filmed a scene from that movie in my apartment building that I lived in the city at that time.
Interesting.
But
did you get Sam? Did you get to meet him?
No.
Are you a big fan?
I'm a huge fan. Huh? Huge Woody
you
fan.
You can't tell.
I don't really get it. I am
constantly put in situations where I have to defend his marriage to Sunyi Brennan. I'm constantly.
See,
and I
wonder why.
Yeah.
Why would you have to do that?
Stop getting into Twitter fights with Ronan Farrow.
You know, but you know who's in that movie? John Waters has a scene in that film. And John Waters had a quote that I always loved about something, because they someone came to him like, oh, it's so glad you've never sold out. And John Waters said, what are you talking about? I've always wanted to sell out. No one will let me. So I guess the only people who don't sell out are the people who are so on the fringe that they're just not allowed to. And they all come from different eras. John Waters came up in the 60s and 70s with films. Woody Allen, the same thing. The best I think you can do now as an artist is George Clooney. Where George Clooney sold out, played Batman, got a shitload of money, and now he just basically can do whatever he wants. He still has to operate in the system. He still might end up being in a movie that they're going to put on a lunchbox, maybe. I don't know. But he can operate within a system.
Oh, man.
Louis C.K.
George Clooney on a lunchbox.
Calm down.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm, like, repelled or just incredibly turned on by that.
He'll be on a thermos, too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Think about it.
I'm gonna be. This is, I don't know if I'm real sleepy.
You're right, Louis C.K.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah. You know, I think all you can really do is control your message, like, you know, what you're saying, like this whole cancer thing that I'm gonna come back to, because you brought it up. The TV show that I'm working on about it, I want the message to be that it's not about somebody with cancer, it's about life. And, you know, it's like a bunch of friends. It's like if one of the friends had cancer, everybody would have to deal with it, and there's funny things, and then there's real life, and then there's the next thing. So it's like, that's what I want to say, and I can control that, and then later hopefully we'll make car commercials in the middle of it,
or cancer lunchbox.
There'll be t-shirts. They'll be like, you know, instead of saying like I'm with stupid, it'll say I'm with cancer, and they'll be little arrows, and there'll be funny headscarves with the hair tied into it, and you know, we'll have swag. We'll have bobbleheads.
Am I allowed to laugh?
Bald bobbleheads. Nobody's laughing now. I'm still working on the pitch.
Well, speaking of selling out.
Yeah.
One actor who actually has never sold out. He's just a
did nine.
Ooh, we're going to guess or no?
No, he's going to tell you.
Oh, I'm just going to tell you. All right. Daniel Day-Lewis.
True. There you go. He's good.
Three-time Absolutely. Oscar winner. He's never prostituted himself.
True.
Nine.
He didn't, you know.
He's really prostituted.
There's
himself.
A Fellini aspect to that. He probably thought he was doing good.
Well, you know, to your point about actors that don't sell out, I went to a Q&A with Holly Hunter once, and I think she is awesome. She kicks ass. Everything she does, she's like this strong ass-cooking woman. So I stood up and I said, Ms. Hunter, do you, you know, blah, 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 you pick these strong women. Are you? And I probably said something about inspiring to women. She looked at me like I was the world's biggest asshole, and she just said, I really just take the role that's offered next. Yeah. And I was like, thank you.
There's a philosophy of life right there.
Thanks, but that's also. She's like, I just like to work. And I was like, okay. Hi.
That's also a sad commentary on maybe actresses, and maybe also actresses who become of a certain age having to take the roles given. Man, I'm turning everything depressing in this.
No, this is good. This is strong. This is hilarious.
But anyway, Daniel Day-Lewis, great actor. Maybe the world's greatest actor. He's up there, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the conversation.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Oh, no.
He has a son.
Uh-huh.
Son Gabe. Gabe Day. And this kid is fucking worthless. He is the child of one of our greatest actors, and he's worthless. And I'll tell you why. He goes to Sarah Lawrence College. And he spends his time smoking weed and making rap videos. Mm. Yes, Daniel Day-Lewis's son is some punk white kid rapper. following in the paths of other multiple Oscar-winning sons, like Tom Hanks, whose son, Chet Hayes, is also a dumb, young, white rapper. And look, Gabe Day, you got to stop with this. Because I'm watching your video here, and you're making a fool of yourself, and you're disrespecting the whole Daniel Day-Lewis family, the whole Day-Lewis clan. You're there in this video. You're a white kid. You're running around with a giant Africa necklace, and they're like African masks and the thing. You don't know anything about Africa. You go to Sarah Lawrence College. I don't know what you're thinking. And you got these lyrics that say things such as, judging someone for their dads is just as bad as being racist. Although, I would think you'd want to be somewhat judged by your brilliant 3-time Oscar-winning father. But nevertheless, you also have a line that says, call me Gabe Day and not Gabe Day Lewis. Because if you because if you're trying to call me out, I'm about to Gabe Day lose it.
Damn.
This kid makes Chet Hayes look like Tupac.
Yeah, that actually is pretty smart.
So look, kid, you gotta cut this out. You gotta stomp. You know, I'm all for people exploring themselves creatively, but you gotta get a grip on who you are. You're some spoiled little Sarah Lawrence College kid. You're not living in the projects. You're not black. Even though your father is an actor who could transform into any role, you can't. You're embarrassing the family, and that is why you, Gabe Day, are this week's enemy of the podcast. Go fuck yourself, Gabe Day. You're embarrassing your father, your brilliant father. Thank God, by the way, that this is a kid from his first marriage and not his second marriage. Otherwise, this would be Arthur Miller's grandson, and Arthur Miller would just be spinning in his grave. Because Daniel Day-Lewis's wife is Rebecca Miller, Arthur Miller's daughter.
Now, this is just the worthless kid of Isabella Adjani, who Daniel Day-Lewis was married to for 6 years before he met, you know, the daughter of the great American playwright.
You know who you're not going to find rapping? Gabe Day, you're not going to find your half-brothers. You're not going to find Arthur Miller's grandchildren trying to rap and making fools of themselves on the campus of Sarah Lawrence College. And you know the only reason all these idiot kids who sit around him indulge him is because he's Daniel Day-Lewis's son.
He's probably paying for everything.
With that said, Sean, will you go see the Gabe Day Chet Hayes tour when they go around the country?
What do you mean? I'll wake up at 2:00 in the morning to get tickets to go see them at the O2 Arena.
Am I being too hard on this kid?
No, I just want to hear him now. Like I'm trying to see if we can pull him up on YouTube.
Afterwards, we can show you a little bit of the genius.
Yeah,
we're
gonna put a clip up on
I don't want to disseminate this. I don't want to be part of this.
Link on the podcast.
I did tweet about.
Says
it.
The man who posts Rebecca Black's Friday music video almost every Friday. I don't want to be part of this.
No.
Yeah, he does that every Friday. Posts Rebecca Black's video.
I want to know. I might become a fan. I can't judge it without hearing it. You know.
About the Gabe Day loser.
Yeah, I can. But I'm telling you, I bet if we dug a little bit deeper, we could probably find a Japanese yogurt commercial that Daniel Day-Lewis did or something.
You know
don't
what?
Suntory
whiskey.
Because you don't know, but then, okay, Tom Cruise, yeah. Selling out is like the least of his problems. But, you turn on YouTube and you'll find him like selling floss in India or something.
But you know what? He's
Clooney
so good,
too.
He'll be
Clooney.
Speaking in fluent Japanese, and you can't tell it's Daniel that he'll disappear into the role. He spoke nothing but Japanese for a month while shooting that commercial.
But you know what? She's right. Clooney does overseas commercials.
Yeah,
Matt Damon just got paid $3 million to do a commercial for, some product that George Clooney actually has some investment stake in. $3 million for 30 seconds of work.
Mm-hmm. I bet you Louis C.K.'s done a commercial. I bet he's done a commercial.
Fuck all these people. There are no more heroes.
No more heroes.
But I don't understand really what the problem is.
Oh, it's
I don't understand what the problem is with selling out.
Here's the thing. I think I was just brought to my attention through this Calvin and Hobbes documentary, of all things.
That he didn't sell out, and you see integrity in that.
Yeah, and you don't see that ever anymore, and I think the system doesn't allow it anymore. Look, I'm like John Waters. I would sell out in a second. I would put this podcast under all the corporate sponsorship. I would do any commercial.
Yeah.
You want me to do a commercial
pesticides.
For...
Pesticides.
Yeah.
You want me to do a commercial for the
all right.
Monsanto?
Well, okay.
Monsanto.
Okay, I have done Walmart and Kmart.
And Walmart's terrible! And
they are terrible to people, but...
Walmart doesn't pay the employees enough that they can't eat on Thanksgiving! They're raising food!
What about McDonald's?
I don't eat McDonald's.
Well, I want to talk about McDonald's before we end podcast.
That's a segue.
The McRib is back.
Woohoo! Woo. Yeah.
Again.
Meat product.
Have you ever had a McRib?
I have.
I don't.
It was kind of tasty.
It's not bad. Sean, have you ever had a McRib?
Nope. What?
It's not bad. I had one the last time it came out, but I didn't seek it out. I happened to be sitting at a bar, and a guy came in. Yeah. He's like, I got an extra McRib.
Seriously?
Who wants it? And I said, I'll take it.
It's like meat-flavored food.
So it's mystery meat from a mystery man.
Pressed into rib shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pork.
And you ate it? You just...
And the guy at the bar handed it to me and I ate it.
What's with you and random men at bars?
I have a history of guys at bars,
just drunk guys giving me food.
I was at a Mexican restaurant once, just sitting at the bar talking to a friend, and a guy was like, I got this whole chimichanga meal I'm not going to eat. You want it? I mean, it was literally just served. And he goes, I don't want it. I can't take it home. I'm drunk. I'll fall. It'll drop in a bush. You want it? I said, yeah. A whole chimichanga meal.
You took chimichangas from a stranger.
Yeah, and I took a McRib from a stranger.
And you weren't worried about, roofies or where that came from? Living on the edge.
Well, anyway, here's what's interesting, though. The McRib is back.
And,
You know, America freaks out for it. I mean, I'm not going to go buy one. But
it seems like it keeps coming back, though.
Keeps
Wasn't
coming
it
back.
Out well, recently?
That's what they
and
do.
And then it went. And
it seems like it's always around, but it's not. And this is how McDonald's.
So do they think they just roll up the signs? They don't actually just throw them away?
Yep.
That's how it works.
They're stored in the back.
Wow. Okay.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Okay.
Burger King has just started selling a rib sandwich.
What do they call that?
The Rib King. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So now I'm asking the tough
Now you're
questions.
Asking the tough
what
question.
What is it called?
It's like a pork sandwich. I don't know.
No,
but it's not like it doesn't have rib in the title.
No,
it's like a Burger King pork sandwich.
Oh,
or something like that. Grilled porker. I don't know. But here's what's interesting. Burger King's rib sandwich is $1. The McRib is $3. So what I see happening here is that BK is gunning to take down the mighty McRib. Will they succeed?
I know. Yes, I think they will.
They'll take down the McRib.
Well, we could try them if I don't eat fast food.
Who wants to eat a $1 pork sandwich?
Yeah, that is scary. See, you kind of when you go underneath the 99 cent,
all of a sudden it's like, what? This is too much mystery meat.
You can't even get a hot dog for 99 cents.
Lips,
right?
An asshole.
That's all this is.
Yeah, but at least they're pretty blatant about it when it's a hot dog.
Burger King's is organic.
What it is. Shut up.
Yeah, it is locally sourced.
Oh.
Yeah, free range ribblings.
I buy everything. It's that. Face. I buy everything he says in that crisp white shirt.
You should be selling rib sandwiches.
Really? Just what, like on the sidewalk?
No, I'm saying she buys everything you say. You look good in that white shirt. You should be the face of the rib sandwich. The Jew selling pork.
Hey, listen. Call me. Pay me enough money. We can talk.
See, that's the thing. I would, in a second, I don't eat McDonald's. The last time I ate McDonald's was when someone randomly handed me, and I didn't buy it.
This happens to you.
Because this happens to me.
People love to give you food.
But I would be the face of McDonald's if they asked me to.
Oh,
they put you in the clown wig and the Ronald McDonald makeup, and
You'd be
I'd be like, I'm loving
you'd
it.
You'd be grimace.
I'm not really loving it. You know what? I'd have to be. I'd have no choice. I have no power. I have to be the face of McDonald's. You know what company fast food place I would gladly be the face of?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. Because I fucking love Taco
you
Bell.
You look so happy.
And the other day, I was feeling kind of miserable. I was here. I'd been writing all day. I'd been inside. And I said, do I make myself dinner? No. And I walked over to Taco Bell and I tried their new triple steak stacker.
And?
Delicious.
Oh,
however, it cost $5.
Uh-oh.
And this is by far...
At Taco Bell?
Yeah, this is by far the most money I ever spent on a Taco Bell product.
They have to actually truck it in from south of the border.
But not at one time, though, because you've gotten... $5 worth of Taco Bell.
But but it was triple the steak, so
you're treating yourself. This was a... Did you have a date?
Yeah.
Did you put on a crisp white shirt and walk down there?
I did.
Cloth napkin, they bring it to the table.
I had a date with Taco Bell, and I brought it back here, and I... And
fucked the triple steak stacker?
Yeah, I fucked it, and then I ate it. Delicious.
And on that note...
Catherine!
Yeah?
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Now I've got this image of you having sex with your Mexican food. It's kind of awkward.
I leave most
Remind
women
me
with that
go
image.
For burritos with you.
Yeah, well,
it's a different mechanism.
Catherine, I'm going to take you out for some Taco Bell.
It's like a fleshlight. He's got a burrito.
Enchiladas. That's right.
Before we leave.
Sir, yes, sir.
Tell everybody once again where they can get this great book, the Dysfunctional Family Fun Book.
The Dysfunctional Family Fun Book is on Amazon, and if you leave me a good review, I will paint you a rainbow, buy you a unicorn, and love you forever.
And
so if you want endless
much
love,
like he loves.
Was your father in the military?
Status. No.
Oh, because you just sir, yes, sir. So I was very in
well, he
Annapolis.
Just so serious.
Yeah, I just made that logical leap. Buy the book.
Absolutely, that'd be.
I don't know how logical that leap was, but
yeah.
And what's your website again?
CatherineBrockett.com.
Spell it again.
CatherineYn Brockett BrockettT.
And are you on Twitter?
Yes.
I know you are because we started following each other.
I know. I have to start tweeting.
What is it on Twitter?
Cancercation.
Oh, cancer.
.com.
And here I thought we wouldn't talk about cancer.
It would
again.
Have come up eventually.
Well, now I want to talk all about it.
She's going to, you know, tweet at her and she'll.
I'm going to tweet. I'll
tweet
back.
Things about
send
cancer.
You, or send you pictures of her boobs.
That, well, only if they buy my book. Or
buy
nothing.
The book. And
see,
then...
I'll sell out. That's what will happen.
Books for boobs.
Yeah.
That's the campaign.
I could start a Kickstarter or something.
Yeah.
If only there were somewhere on the internet where I could find pictures of naked breasts.
You know, I have a really funny... Now I can think of a funny story.
Okay,
this,
if you want to...
We're totally out of time.
No, no, we'll let you. We
Oh, no. Anderson on the spot again. When I found out I needed new boobs, the doctor, the plastic surgeon, who was a female, suggested that I do a little research and bring her some pictures of boobs. And I thought, awesome. That's easy, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not easy because I went to what are those called? Newsstand, and I got a bunch of porn magazines.
Was the internet broken?
Well, see, I thought that it would be easier to tear out magazine pages because she likes to put the pictures up in the OR on the wall. But everything had, like, you couldn't get any clear, like, just front shots because everybody was either, you know, sucking somebody else's something or had a dildo in their mouth or whatever. No good clear shots of boobs.
Yeah.
So I did. I went on the internet. You're right. And before... I realized there's something called a Google safe search.
Okay.
I see where this is going.
I had no idea. I Googled pretty breasts and nothing came up. And then you take the Google safe search off. And well, actually, before it was nothing but websites with like Sarah Palin topless. And
Like doctored.
With her head and stuff. And then there was a whole new world of boobs I had no idea about. Like, I'm telling you, in Van Nuys, on haystacks, mountaintops, restaurants, my favorite, in a clock shop.
Clock shop boobs.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of boobs.
So you know that. Yeah,
I know clock shop boobs.
And there's a whole world of men that, like, make comments. Like
Yeah, we like to talk about boobs, men.
Well, yeah, but they'll write in and they'll say something like, you know, Gretchen's... ass was as pristine as a Thanksgiving butterball turkey. And
that's what I'm having for dinner this Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Gretchen's ass.
And I thought there's some place for, you know,
there's a hotline.
Hard 49 to express himself artistically and let Gretchen know what he thought of her. Yeah.
Thank God for the internet. Now Gretchen's self-esteem is through the roof.
Absolutely. Yeah, but she sold out.
Gretchen.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She
okay.
did.
So don't forget to
buy my book.
Buy my book.
And tell us your favorite dysfunctional family story. And if we decide that yours is the funniest or saddest? Funniest.
Yeah, not the saddest.
No, oh, Lord, no. Not the saddest.
The funniest. We will get you a copy of the book. She will sign
unique,
it.
Unique. And then see, we get to pick whichever one we want.
Sounds good. We'll run the good ones
you
by
know
you.
You know what? I'll tell you what the most unique is. It's the Thanksgiving where the family ate Gretchen's ass.
I think we just came up with the episode title.
So, Sean, why don't you do the thing where you plug your things?
You can follow me at Twitter at TheSeanDavid. I also got it into my head today that if anyone wants a print of my Instagrams, because they're beautiful, talk to me. And my Instagram is wonderful. I'll also be performing on December 29th at the West Side Comedy Theater at Nat Goldberg's Holiday Show. You can also download and read my book on Amazon, Triumvirs, T-R-I-U-M-V-I-R-S. But seriously, folks, Instagram.
I have to... normally, I would just go right into my plugs, but I have to, again, drag this episode out a little bit longer. So people are going to say, I really like this Instagram photo of that tree you took.
Yes.
Will you get me a print of it?
And then they'll pay me, and I'll do a markup, and I'll sign it.
Are they going to pay you for this?
I'm going to sign it.
If you start making money off of your Instagram...
You will be so impressed.
I will be so angry.
Oh, that's not where that sentence was going.
I'm going to hang one in my apartment.
Maybe. That's what people are all getting for gifts now. I'm just giving you pieces of my Instagram.
Honestly, if you, for the holidays, give everybody printouts of some of your Instagram photos, you give everyone a different one, I would think that's the greatest thing ever. If you did that to everyone, I think that's hilarious.
I got to start Instagramming my penis.
I am so looking forward to getting one.
Yeah. Instagram's all over. Instagram's for the holidays. Okay. You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also read film reviews of mine on u1can.com. Can, you know, it's felt like sitting in France.
Read them while you can, folks.
Read them while you can. That website's not going to be around much longer. if you are listening to this episode right when it came out, this Sunday, December 1st, I'm going to be performing at the Lyric Hyperion Theater for Lit Up Writers. That's at 7:30. It's a benefit for the LA Storytelling Festival. And it's a holiday-themed show, and I'm going to be reading the story of the best, worst New Year's Eve I ever had. On the show next week, we're very excited, Marilyn Friedman is coming on the show. She runs the Writing Pad. Or is it Writer's Pad?
The Writing Pad.
Writing Pad.
Yes.
She is our guest next week. It's a great group.
It's a company that it's a company. It's a group. It's a collective. They teach you how to write, and they have everything: fiction, nonfiction, memoir, screenplays. They'll make you a better. If you're a good writer, they'll make you a better writer. If you're a great writer, they'll make you a brilliant writer.
So basically, next week we're going to teach everyone how to write.
Yeah.
Should be riveting. And then the week after that, we're very excited. Very funny comedian. Dave Ross is coming on the show. He's part of the comedy group Women, and he's a terrific stand-up. He's doing a nationwide tour. We're getting him right at the end of it, so I'm sure he's going to have some great stories, some of which might involve cancer.
Woo-hoo!
Once again, Catherine, thank you. And for the Will Sean Podcast, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a happy Hanukkah. For the Will Sean Podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.